Thanks for joining us for another podcast from the youth team at Ballygowan Presbyterian Church. In today's podcast, Hubert Scott teaches about practicing blind, using the stories of Daniel and Joseph. This recording is taken from the Saturday morning session of our 2019 youth weekend, Dream.
Can you see that? Can you read that? What's it say? God is good. Okay. God is good. All the time. So, blind practice. It's a bit weird, isn't it? Blind practice. Some of it might have said practicing blind, but that's okay. It's the same thing, guys. It's the same thing. You'll need your Bibles later on. For later on, make sure you look up Daniel. So we're all Old Testament this morning. So we're going to look at Daniel. We're also going to follow on with the story of Joseph that Andrew started yesterday. These are two guys whose lives followed similar paths. And they involved a lot of dreams and visions. So we know what a dream is. We'll have one nearly every night. Sam and Al, so these guys are going to have one this afternoon probably. Visions. Visions are like a waking dream. You heard a bit about Andrew's journey. And visions, you'll hear a bit about my journey later on. So a bit of background in Daniel. Who was he? He was a Jew from Jerusalem. He was taken away and held captive to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. So he took him away to Babylon. He took three of his friends with him. Now, he was wanting smart, young, handsome guys, be his wise men. That's what he was after. So he took his three, Daniel and his three friends, stole them away, and he gave them new names. Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Nebuchadnezzar took them and he brought them into his court and he was giving them wine and food, and they didn't want to be defiled. They refused to eat this food. They refused to drink this wine provided by the king. So instead they said, vegetables and water, that's what we want. So they were going against the flow. They weren't just fitting in with everybody else that was under the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. And this is extremely relevant for us today, because Christianity isn't the norm out into our world. Unfortunately, Christianity isn't the norm. There's lots of people don't go to church. There's lots and lots of other things competing for our attention. On Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons, Sunday evenings, and the whole week, loads and loads of things competing for our attention. But Daniel and his friends, they remain faithful to God. So, can we remain faithful to God? It's difficult, but can we do it? So the king, he has a dream. And he doesn't just have Daniel and his friends as smart young wise men. There's other guys. But Daniel is the only one that can interpret the king's dream. So, let's jump back to Joseph for just a second. Now, are we getting deja vu here? Think of Daniel and Joseph. Both these figures are taken into exile. And this apparent tragedy of them being stolen away and taken to a strange, far-off land, it becomes blessings. They're both handsome in appearance. They're both courtiers to the ruler, to the king. They're both given new non-Hebrew names. They're both wise men. So when we've got a couple of verses showing that they're wise men. Genesis 41:39 tells us that. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you." Daniel 1 and verse 4. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So these guys, young, good looking, smart. It's what we all want to be, isn't it? So, neither guy can interpret the dreams by themselves. They don't have degrees in Orientology. Think of Orientology. Orientology, that's the big name for the study of dreams. They're practicing blind practice. Or are they? What they do have is faith in God. So, very quickly, everyone stand up, go to the back of the room and make a circle as tight as you can. Go, do it now. Go, go, go. Leaders can spot around the side in case it goes wrong. So, make a circle. One nice big round circle. Okay, everybody just turn to your left. Okay, make a circle tighter, 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 tighter. Okay, guys, test of faith coming up. Reach in with your right hand and just grab another hand. Right? So go in tighter, wee bit tighter. Okay, guys, test of faith. Everybody just sit down after three. After three. It's okay, it's okay. After three. You ready? One. Sit, yes, sit on the person behind you, your knee. The person in front of you is sitting on your knee. Okay, you ready? So on three we're sitting, okay? On three we're sitting. One, two, three, and sit. And stand up. Stand up, stand up. Okay. Guys, you've got the theory, I believe you can do this. One more time, we'll check one more time, and then we'll come back. Okay, so, get nice circle, nice and tight. Good circle. There's a wobbly bit out here by Andrew and Philip. Okay. Guys, hold on tight with that hand. Hold on tight to your brother or sister. You ready? Hold on tight. One. Two. Nice and slowly. One. Two. Three. That's good. That's good. Right, let's stand up. Let's stand up. That's good. Stand up. One, two, three. Stand. Perfect, well done. Pick your seats. Is there a team, family? That was brilliant. Okay. So, back to these dreams. I had a dream last night. Anyone that gets my dream guesses it correctly has a sweet. Okay? So, who knows my dream? Nobody? Okay, I tell you what. If you guess my dream and you can tell me what it meant, you can have the whole box. Right? Seems a bit weird. That's the point. Well, let's do it the other way. I'm going to pick someone. You have to guess my dream. You have to tell me what it is and see if you get it wrong. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to trail you by your feet down to the beach and throw you into the water. Does that sound fair? Doesn't sound fair at all, does it? And that's what these guys were faced with. Imagine the king saying, "What was my dream? I'm not going to tell you what it was. You're the wise man. What was my dream? And tell me what it meant." So, in the Babylonian culture and religion, they believed that dreams were means of revelation from the gods, not from God, from the gods. The gods that they worshipped. Nebuchadnezzar was desperate to know what his dream meant. And I say his, what the dream meant. So, said earlier, find Daniel. Open your Bibles now. We're going to go to Daniel 2. And we're going to read a fair bit of chapter 2. Okay? So, we're going to take a verse at a time and shout it out, and we'll start at the back. So we'll start with Ruth and we'll just go along the rows and come all the way forward. I can start the very first verse if you want, and then we'll carry on. So I need to find it too. Okay, and if you haven't found it, make sure there's someone beside you who's got it open or got in the Bible. Don't worry about different verses. You'll follow the person beside you. Give you a nudge to go on to the next verse. So, Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Daniel had dreams. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him.
So the king called for his fortune tellers, magicians, wizards, and wise men, because he wanted them to tell him what he had dreamed. They came in and stood in front of the king.
He said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means."
Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it."
The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have to cut you into pieces and your houses turned into fire and rubble.
But if you shew the dream, and in the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honour. Therefore shew me the dream, and the interpretation thereof."
Once more they replied, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it."
King Nebuchadnezzar answered, "I know you're trying to get more time, because you know what I meant when I said.
If you don't tell me any dream, you will be punished. You have all agreed to tell me lies and wicked things, but when things will change, now tell me the dream so that I will know you can tell me what it really means."
The wise man answered the king, saying, "No one on earth can do what the king asks. No great and powerful king has ever asked the fortune tellers and magicians or wise men to do this.
What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans."
This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon.
So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death.
Without the commander of the king's guard had come out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact.
He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Aratosh then explained the matter to Daniel.
At this, Daniel went unto the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him.
Then Daniel went to his house and explained the whole story to his friends, Hanisha, Mishael, and Arisa.
18.
Daniel asked his friends to pray that the God of heaven would show them mercy and help them understand this. secret so he and his friends would not be killed with the other wise men of Ballyboom.
Thank you. 19.
During the night, God explained the secret to Daniel in a vision, and Daniel praised the God of heaven.
Skip over, guys, to 26.
The king asked Daniel a question. He said, "Are you able to tell me about my dream and what it means?"
Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about.
But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you lay on your bed are these.
As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen.
But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Just give us good time now. Okay. So, Daniel has no idea what the dream was or how to interpret it. Stakes are high, life or death, so it's not going to be trailed down and thrown into water. That would be easy. But he gives it over to God. So God is the one who sent Nebuchadnezzar the dream. Remember, it's not Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He didn't create the dream. And I don't believe any of us create the dream ourselves that we have. Just even normal dreams at night. God enables Daniel to do this task, which would otherwise be impossible. And Daniel passes on that credit. He says, "I can't interpret, but God can." So he's very clear about that. He's clear that it's not him that's interpreting this dream. During the rest of chapter 2, you can read about the dream and its interpretations. Daniel goes on to interpret more dreams for Nebuchadnezzar and his successor, Belshazzar. The dreams and visions that Daniel interprets are not always pleasant for the kings, but he faithfully passes the message on. So remember, when God through Daniel is interpreting these dreams, and Daniel can be thinking, "Goodness, if I say this, I'm going to be in deep trouble," but he faithfully passes the message on. The last bit of Daniel's story, which we're going to look at, is the most famous. Can you guess? The lion's den. So, chapter 6. Babylon's got another new king. Yeah, you can turn it. We'll not read it just yet, but we'll read it shortly. So, Babylon has got another new king. And Daniel again distinguishes himself, which inspires jealousy in others. So those people hatched a plot using the only means they could through Daniel's faith in God. And even though a decree was passed which stated that anyone who prayed to any god except the king would be thrown into the lion's den, Daniel continued to be faithful and prayed to God, to his God. The jealous Babylonians, they touted on him. They snitched on him. Snitches get stitches, but not in this case. So, they touted on him and forced the king to enact the punishment. And the king was distressed. You know, remember? He's fond of Daniel and he likes him. But the king was stressed. Not only was this favourite Daniel of his in the den of lions, but his managers had used his own laws against him, leaving him feeling powerless. So let's look at Daniel 6. So we'll start at the front this time and then we'll work backwards. So
now the king went to his Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him.
At dawn the king got up and hurried to the pit.
When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?"
Daniel answered, O king, live forever.
My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty.
King Darius was very happy. He told his servants to lift Daniel out of the lion's den. But when Daniel was lifted out of the den, they did not find any injury in his body. The lions did not hurt Daniel because he trusted in his God.
Then the king gave the command to bring the men he had accused Daniel to the lion's den. The men and their wives and children were thrown into the lion's den. The lions grabbed them before they hit the floor. The lions kept their bodies and they chewed on their bones.
Thank you. So again, God was with Daniel. Daniel was faithful to God. God was faithful to Daniel. So let's go back to Joseph again. So find Joseph in prison through no fault of his own. As he's sitting there feeling sorry for himself, no, again, he's a success. And we find that in Genesis 39. So in Genesis 39:20, we have, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So, one morning, he was being nice to a couple of fellows. They were looking dejected, and they ended up with the job of interpreting more dreams. Now, word of warning here, be careful who you're nice to. I was being nice to Andrew, and look where I've ended up this morning. But so they were looking to interpret more dreams, and we find that in chapter 40 and verse 7. And well, where did we get to Harry, Andrew? Who was next? Philip. So if you go to Genesis 40, verse 7. Stick it up here. So that's 7 to 19. So who's next? Who's next? Go for it.
So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today? We both had dreams, he answered. Both there is new, one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God. Tell me your dreams.
So the chief of Pharaoh told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream I saw a vine in front of me.
And on the vine were three branches, as soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened and gave grapes.
I was holding the king's cup, so I took two grapes and squeezed the juice out of the cup, then I gave it to the king.
Then Joseph said, I'll explain the dream. If you betray creatures, stand for 3 days. Before the end of 3 days, the king will free you and he will allow you to return to your work. You will serve the king with his wine just as you did before.
But when you're free, remember me, be kind to me, and tell the king about me so I can get out of this prison.
After all, I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here in Egypt, I didn't do anything to deserve being put in prison.
When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread.
I
In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of my basket on my head.
This is what it means, Joseph said. 3 baskets for 3 days.
Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will be away.
Thank you. So again, Joseph passes on the credit. Do not interpretations belong to God? And again, the dreams that Joseph interprets are not always pleasant for the recipients, but he faithfully passes the message on. Joseph is called to Pharaoh, and find that in chapter 41, 15 to 36. Can we pick up that again from the next person? Who's the next person along?
And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand the dream to interpret.
I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Then the king said to Joseph, in my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile River.
And out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek. They grazed among the reeds.
And the cows were ugly and gaunt. And cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up.
He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 years of corn, healthy and good, were growing in a single stalk.
Where are we now? Oh, Harry.
41.
No, you're right. We're in 23 there. Yeah, 23. Genesis 41. 23.
Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do.
The 7 fat cows are 7 years, and the 7 full ears of corn are also 7 years. They have the same meaning.
The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine.
We jump back to the back again. Thanks, Ruth.
This will happen as I told you. God is showing the king what he is about to do.
7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt.
But 7 years of famine will follow, and all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land.
The reason of the dream is given to Pharaoh as he forms is that the land has been firmly decided by God and God will do so.
Yeah, we'll go on to 36, just the end of that passage.
And that food shall be for sure to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine.
Sorry, that was my mistake for jumping you on. Anyway, sorry, we can take time to read that again. I know it's difficult jumping between translations as we go. So, Joseph is deemed to be the discerning and wise man. He's placed in charge of Egypt. He's been faithful to God despite all the hardships. And we see more parallels between Daniel and Joseph. It's not either men, but God who reveals the mystery and the interpretation of dreams. Both are given a gold chain to wear around their neck. Both are appointed over a whole kingdom. God puts his followers in the right place in order to carry out his plans. And always remember that God plays the long game. Things may not look right to you, but God has a plan for each of us. And we heard about some of Andrew's journey yesterday, last night. And for me, some of my journey. So Andrew talked about long, long, long years ago. And long, long years ago, I was sitting in your fellowship, and I was sitting with going out to different youth rallies. And rallies, I like water sport, but it wasn't that type of rally. The rally was just going and meeting up with other young people, and it was class. And you would go to different churches, you go to events, and you would sit and you'd worship Jesus, and then you would be going through that whole thing, am I a Christian? And you get the whole message. If you're going to be hit by a bus tonight, where are you going? Are you going to heaven or hell? And sometimes you need that message. So I got that message, and that message finally hit home for me when I was 13 in Grove Baptist in Belfast. So from there, school had a brilliant scripture union, and you were surrounded by a big age range. So like yourselves, you'd just have an age range, 11 up to about 18, all worshipping Jesus together in school, which is class. And I'll say, if you're not going to a bio union or scripture union or Christian union, whatever it's called in your school, go there. And even if you're just going for a social, okay, I don't want you to do that, but go. So through school, and you get involved in things, and you think, you know, this is cool, this is good. And then there's other wee things outside, and there's Youth for Christ things that happened, and there was a thing that used to be called Rock Solid. Rock Solid was held in the centre of Belfast on Friday afternoon, and it was after school, and it was just fantastic. And as you get these opportunities in your life, and you think, should I go to these? We talk about a journey. God is placing these opportunities in front of you. God is getting people, teachers, leaders, friends, and saying, do you want to go to this? Take those opportunities. Don't say, nah, I don't like the sound of it. It's a bit like this weekend. You think, should I go to the weekend? Oh, I don't know. Could be Wick. That's in the moors. That might be cold. Maybe just go. 16 was the youngest, and I think it probably still is, that you could be a steward at Summer Madness. I had never been. I was Presbyterian, grew up Presbyterian, and then Summer Madness, that's just some wacky Church of Ireland thing. So 16, I had brilliant Christian friends at school who were Church of Ireland, and they go in the Summer Madness and grew up and going to Summer Madness, and they said, what about Summer Madness? And I says, okay, well, what's that all about? And he says, what about stewarding? I say, okay. So I went at 16. I had never been a camper at Summer Madness. I went straight as a steward. And do you know what? It was fantastic. And that wasn't me thinking, I'm going to go to Summer Madness. That was God saying, Summer Madness is there now. Then it was in Gosford, near Armagh, a big forest park. And that was God saying, go. And you're nervous about going to these things, but you go. So I went. And there's friends, Christian friends that I met there. And you get this network of Christian friends. So I met them years and years ago. And they're still some of my best friends. So you go through and you keep stepping on through these years in your life, and you're told not to worry about tomorrow, but of course you worry about tomorrow. You worry about your exams. You worry about your future. You worry about, will I ever get a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Will I ever get married? Will I ever do this? You shouldn't, but it's natural. We're human. We do. We worry. So after exams, then you're thinking, right, what's next after exams? Do I work? Do I go to college? Do I go to university? What do you do? And you pray about it. And, you know you can pray anywhere. You don't have to pray as a group. You can pray as you're walking along. You can pray as you're running tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock and we'll go down to the beach. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray when you're driving. Harry gets freaked out when I pray whenever we go off on a Team Scott holiday and I say, let's pray. And then everyone else, I think, closes their eyes, and then I'm not closing my eyes. So you can pray with your eyes open, so you can pray all the time, but always pray and say to God, God gives you these visions and points you in these directions, and you just need to go with it. And if you're not sure, just pray and say, God, am I making this up? Am I being selfish? Do I want to do this thing? Where 9 times out of 10, God has placed it there for you to go. So, I went through and then I done A-levels. And then it's like, right, natural progression. What do I do now? What do I do now? University, okay, university. Right, engineering. Yeah, engineering, that's good. It's mad, see, trying to work out a career. It's bonkers, isn't it? Some people, you know, zookeeper. Very, very clear. Zookeeper, zookeeper, zookeeper. Look at him now. He's the best zookeeper I know. So, do you know what I mean? Don't get hung up on that career thing. Don't get hung up on one path. That works for some people. But don't panic if you think this isn't going right. God, you're letting me down. God will not let you down. You'll let God down. So, engineering, and then it's like, right, okay, university. Where? Okay, God, where am I going? And then I'm thinking, I like Scotland. I'm going to Edinburgh. That's where, God, isn't that right, God? Yeah, that's right, good. So off I go. Our place in Northern Ireland, our place didn't exist in Scotland. So this was classes, like, right, we'll be able to do flat out, 70 miles an hour, up the motorway from Glasgow to Edinburgh. This is cool, it's all good. Me, two of my mates, Edinburgh for a weekend, having a look around Edinburgh University, and went up the King's Buildings or King's Road or something in Edinburgh, and spent the weekend there. And then it's like, what am I doing here? What am I doing? Is this what I'm meant to be doing? So sometimes you'll do journeys in your life and you'll think, yeah, this is for God. But be careful, guys. Be prepared for the thump. No. You're not going to Edinburgh, you're going to Queens. Okay, so back to Queens, back home. So this is a scale representation of Great Britain and Ireland. So there's roughly us in Ballygown and there's us right now. So back over home. And in some ways you think, yeah, that's okay, right? Life is good at home. And that's okay, don't go too far from home. Okay, maybe travel will come some other time in my life. So, Queens, do a year, do a second year, and then gap year, brilliant gap year. You hear about these gap years? It's like, you meet Americans around places like this, and you go, where are you? Yeah, I'm on my gap year. So, gap years, take the opportunity if you get it, and God will present a clear opportunity. God presented a clear opportunity to me in 1998, and it was Hong Kong. And I thought, I really want to go to Hong Kong. I want to go to Hong Kong. ISD scheme, 1998, let's go. In 1998, in Hong Kong, it used to be under British rule, and then it handed back to Hong Kong independent, and China kind of wanted it anyway, but. So, 1998, and I had this big CV done for the ISD scheme for my gap year, and I was going to Hong Kong, and my mate was going to Iceland, and another mate was going to the States, and I thought, that's class, amen, thank you God, Hong Kong, I can't wait to go. And then I sit in the interview, and then the news comes on, and then they're saying, oh no, things are unrest, your CV, and you've put all this church stuff, and oh, you don't want to do that. Not to Hong Kong. So they cancelled that scheme. And then it's like, what? What's that all about? God, thought I'm going to Hong Kong. So be prepared for the... Make all these plans and get it right in your head. And you think, yes, I know what you want me to do, God. So no Hong Kong for me. My mate goes to Iceland. The other one goes to the States. And I thought, oh, you boys, yes, right. Where am I faced with? So then you look around for all these other things, and you think, okay, right, so gap year, so maybe I got this wrong, where I'm going, but the gap year, that is still happening, isn't it? So it's like, right, God, show me something. So you walk in, and then you see the poster on the wall, and that time it said, British Aerospace, come and see military aircraft and machines that kill people, more or less. And I thought, really? that's weird. Why would you want a Christian there? So, and then I thought, okay, maybe. And in Queens, you have small groups. So there's a mass. The largest student union in Queens is the Christian Union. Christian Union, isn't it? Christian Union? Yeah, CU. It's always BUC or SU and everything, so CU. And then in each faculty, so I was in engineering, you have the small groups, you have the departmental groups. So that is a group where people come together, all sorts of engineers, Christians, have fellowship, and it's fantastic. And I pray with those guys. And they were all, you know, in similar boats, different parts of their degree. And it's like, why should I be going to British Aerospace? They make killing machines. And it's like, here, listen, could be God's plan. Probably is God's plan. You wanted to go to Hong Kong, you didn't get to go to Hong Kong, so here's your opportunity. So it's like, right, okay. And they said, we know people that are there. There's people that have been through their degree, friends of ours, and they're already there. So I thought, great. So there's a guy there. I went over in 98, in September, to Preston. Does anyone know where Preston is? Preston is like, so if this is Scotland, Wales, London's down here. So England, so that's all Yorkshire, and that's Lancashire. Liverpool's in here, Manchester's about there. That's Preston. Preston rains 9 days out of 10. Preston is depressing. Preston is in a depression. Preston's wick. Blackpool's up here. Preston. I went to Preston. I was raging. I cried. It was wick. So I'm in Preston, and then I meet up with my new-to-be best friend, BFF, Richard. And he was there a year before me, and he's working in British Aerospace as well. And he's a born-again Christian from Hollywood, so he's a good Northern Ireland guy, and he's already in Preston. So I arrive in, go find his house, because I've been given his address, knock on his door and say, hi Richard, I'm Hubert. He goes, I've been told about you. So, and I don't know what he was told, but he had a smile on his face. So we went in, had a chat, and I says, right, how you finding church here? What's the crack? Because he was Presbyterian as well, so it's like Presbyterian. And there's no proper Presbyterians in England. There's a few Reformed churches. There's some, you think, it's just full of English people. So, And Church of England, which is a bit like Church of Ireland, and it's just like, you know. So then we say, right, what, you know, Richard, you've been here for a while. Well, what's the crack? Where have you been? He says, I've been to this, been to that, been to Baptist. And he says, but there's a church, and you have to be careful of this as well, guys, because he says there's a church that's got a good name for itself and it's popular. And sometimes people will go to church en masse just because they're after that experience. Andrew talked about the Pentecostal church and Happy Clappy church, and that can draw a lot of people in. It's just going for the social side, and they can get very disillusioned with it. But this one is like, no, this guy says, let's go. They had two services on a Sunday morning. One was at 9:30, and one was like, what time is the other one at? Well, and it was at 11:30, so I thought, right, this is cool. We were both into climbing. Wales is here. You can go climb Wales, go climb in the Lake District. We figured out if we went to church at 9:30 on a Sunday, we could be on Helvellyn in the Lake District by lunchtime having a whale of a time. So we thought, amen, Lord. We will go to church and we'll still get into the mountains and we could be back again for evening church if we wanted. So that's what we did. Do you know what? When we went to that church, we both realized this was God placing us there. So this was our journey that we both thought, what on earth are we doing in Preston? This is a wicked place. This was God placing us right there in that church. I was there for the gap year. It was a fantastic year. The variety of people, the youth work that we got involved in. There was a group for primary school called Kids Club, and then that went on to the Edge. We ran a bus that went into the nearest estate because the church there got burnt, and we brought them back out, and it was fantastic. And then I had to come back, and then I was in this quandary then, at the end of that gap year, it's like, did I finish this degree? And I thought, well, if I don't finish this degree, I'll not get a job, so maybe I should do that. So, came back, finished university, and then my final year of university, then I seen my first wife, well, I seen my only wife. I seen Elaine, but that's a lie. I had seen Elaine in first year and second year, I thought. But it wasn't until my final year and my mate who was my best man, and then I was his best man, and he then said to Elaine, Hubert fancies you, and then he said to me, Elaine fancies you. And you know, watch out for that, guys, that can happen. But so God used William, my mate, and he got us together. And again, it's all God's plan. You have a vision, but God has a vision, and it's God's vision, and he'll take you on this amazing journey in your life, and he's doing it to you all right now. So what did we do then? We started going out, and then we finished university, and then, what are we going to do? I just started going out with Elaine. I want to go back to this amazing church and place in Preston. I want to do it. And it's like, but I'm pretty sure God wants me to do it. But what's Elaine doing? And at that time, in the year 2000, engineering was weak in Northern Ireland. There was places closing, and then Nortel was sort of, you want a job? Yeah, you can have a job, but future's not looking bright. And then Elaine was an engineer as well. It's like, oh no, what are we going to do? So, praise the Lord, Elaine went to Bible College in Capenry. Capenry is up near Lancaster, so it's there. So that was cool. So off we went back to England, and we could see each other. And I got to travel up the road. And now to go to Bible College, you have to pay. I know you have to pay for lots of colleges and universities now, but you have to pay. So I was able to go up and hear the evening lectures for free. And all these Americans were in the bio, and they were sneering at me. It's like, who's this freeloader? Oh, it's Elaine's boyfriend. So I was there, and again, it was part of God's journey. It was like, there's a year dripping in and out of a Bible college that I'm not really at, but Elaine's at, and it was all good. And then after that, Elaine was looking for a job. And then you're thinking, what? You're praying together about the direction that God's taking you, and you're asking God, you know, show us what to do. So he says, yeah, no problem. Elaine, you're going there. I was like, what? That's 130 miles away. So Elaine went to Leicester, and Elaine got a job there. So we were apart. So that's what we'd done. To cut a long story short, eventually then we moved back to Northern Ireland, got married, and that's where we are today. But what I'm trying to say is, your journey that you're on, God is always in control. You think you're in control of parts of it. You're not. You're a passenger. You're God's passenger. God is in control. And God will take you on that journey. And you go with it. Be prepared for the thumps. Be prepared for those times when you just go, dump. And you go, no, I got it wrong. But admit you got it wrong. God doesn't get it wrong. So, that's pretty much all I have to say this morning. I want to close in prayer, and then we'll hand back over. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all the opportunities you give us. We thank you for being given this book as an instruction manual for life. We thank you that you give examples, and even though it's a long time ago, that we can look at Daniel and we can look at Joseph and we can learn from them, and we can have that confidence that you can guide us, and you can give us dreams, and you can give us visions, and you can keep steering us. And Lord, we thank you that we can have faith in you. Lord, look after us today, Lord, and just bless us today as we go out and have fun together. Amen.
We hope and pray that you've been encouraged by this teaching. For more information on our youth ministry, you can visit us at ballygowanpresbyterian.com or check us out on social media at ballygowanyouth.